Today on Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Ephesians. But first...
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and you know that I love to see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's almost nothing more exciting than that. When I say almost, this is something that really drives my heart as a pastor. And that's those who know Jesus, but they've walked away from him. They're the prodigal. They're the ones that Jesus spoke about in Luke's gospel, the prodigal son. Maybe you're the prodigal daughter today, and you're far from God. And you're hearing this program right now, and it's got your attention. You're living a life that you know is not pleasing to God. I want you to know something. The Lord is saying to you, Christian, come home. He's inviting you to come back to have your sins forgiven and your fellowship reestablished with the Lord. That can happen now, my friend. Or maybe you know somebody who's in that condition today that they need to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, listen, for a gift of $20 or more to support Real Radio, there's a 4-DVD set entitled Christian Come Home, taken out of Luke's Gospel, Life of the Prodigal Son. Christian, if you're not walking with God, come on back. Christian, come home now.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, emphasizes unity among believers and spiritual gifts. This series is taken from Ephesians 4 and verses 7 through 16. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
He would have taken Abraham, Isaac, and all of them and led captivity captive because he took them to heaven. It says that he ascended with them. And by the way, on the day of Pentecost, he gave gifts unto men. So that tonight, by the way, tonight... If you read the book of Revelation, you'll know that tonight, if someone dies who's not a Christian, they go to this type of hell. It is not the hell. You know the big hell that everybody talks about? The big hell is still yet coming. Nobody's there yet. Read the book of Revelation. There is a time when Hades and everything that is evil gets thrown into the lake of fire, which is bad, with a capital B, and hot with a capital H. Bad. There's nobody there yet. He led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Interesting. Now, it says in verse 11 to 13, which is where we'll spend the most of our time this evening. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints, okay, and for the work of ministry, great, also for the edifying of the body of Christ. Good. When it says in verse 8, and he gave gifts to men, you ought to circle the word gifts and draw a line down to verse 11, because here's the gifts that he's talking about. He gave a lot of gifts, but in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, he lists specific gifts. And we're going to get later on in our studies into all of the other fun gifts. I call them fun gifts because they're the ones that you're waiting to hear about. But right here, he's going to be talking about, look, four gifts. You might say, well, I count five. No, there's only four. Look at verse 11. In the Greek Bible, it reads this way, which the Bible is written in Greek, and the original Greek scripture reads like this, and he himself gave some to be, listen, the apostles, some the prophets, some the evangelists, some the pastor's teachers. Pastor-teacher is one function, or actually two functions of one calling. It's not pastors, and the definite article, the, appears in front of four of them, not in front of teachers, which in the language, even in English, tells you that it is four gifts, not five. The evangelist, the pastor-teacher, the prophet, the apostle, very important. Very, very important. And we're going to look at this closely. A few things I want you to jot down, though, concerning the purpose of the gifts, which is what we're talking about. First of all, the purpose of the gifts is number one, and it's these gifts and any gift. Is that God would accomplish His purpose. God gives gifts so that His purposes might be accomplished. It's kind of like buying your son a lawnmower. It's a gift, son. Gee, Dad, what's it for? Well, God gives better gifts than Toros. The purpose of the gifts, that God would accomplish His purpose. And it's His desire, it's God's desire, that we would do on this earth what He wants done. He wants us to do it. It always blows my mind to think about that. If you're a father, the last thing you want to do is invite your child to help you with a project. You'll never get done. And every nail will be bent. And it just absolutely take forever. Daddy, can I help you? Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, brother, there goes the whole day. But you got to let the little guy do it because, you know, he's got to do it. He's got to learn how to do it. I don't have little guys. I have little girls. Ashley's always been, you know, hey, let me dig that hole. Let me plant that tree. I got a picture of Ashley. She's like 2.5 years old with gloves on in the backyard, hands on her hip, looking at a tree. And we're trying to plant this thing. And she's like, she's always been the one that's just, hey, get out of the way. Let's, you know, bulldoze the thing. And can I help? I remember we were painting the house. We're still painting the house. We started it 10 years ago. We're still painting the house. And she had a can of paint. And she's standing there. She picks it up. I want to help, Daddy. I want to help. And it's like, oh, no, you know. And back then, it was great because you could dip the brush in water in a cup and say, paint the driveway. And they think, you know, that's pretty good. But she did what we so often do. She had the can of paint and the hot summer day with her diaper on and no shoes and dropped that can of paint right on her toe and popped that thing wide open. And we do the same thing so much, we want to, I'll help you, God. I'll help you. And God's going, oh, no. And we drop it right on us. Why did I ever get involved in this? And we have all this panic and all this pain. Listen, the Lord, first of all, He has gifted us to get His purpose done. I wouldn't have done it, but He did it. And He wants us to be involved. It's a strange thing. We're His hands and feet in the world today. And He's given us gifts. The second thing is that He would share with us the work at all. The Lord is honored and blessed every time we call upon God in the work that we do. You might be saying, oh, I don't want to get involved because it's such a commitment. You know what's so great about getting involved? First of all, you forget about who you are. It's a sad life to live when all you have to think about is you. You know what? Your world is so small when it's just you in it. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to do today? And, you know, it's cute for like the first half an hour, but it gets really old real quick. When you find out that because you're a Christian, you can just be so, so outside yourself by serving the Lord Jesus, by serving others, it's a wonderful thing. But it will cause you to call upon Him. Oh, God, I need your help for this. We're singing songs a moment ago, worshiping the Lord. I'm sitting in the back saying, Lord, if you don't fill me with your Holy Spirit, I'm in big trouble tonight. I need you bad.
Service will always do that. It will cause you to call upon the Lord. And listen, Malachi 3:16. Jot that down. Great verse. It says, those who were in awe of the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard from heaven. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who are in awe of the Lord and those who meditate on his name. Isn't that neat? You're talking about the Lord. Isn't God good? And God goes, ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah, write that down. Write that down. They just said that I'm good. Write that down in my book of remembrance, Gabriel, Michael. Jot that down, will you? Take a note. Another thing concerning the purpose of the gifts being given is that we would all be built up and useful. We'll jump ahead for a moment. It says right here in verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete man, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. The gifts were given that we'd be built up. My gift, if I use it under the power of the Holy Spirit, is to build you up. And so is your gift. I need your gift in my life. We need each other. And that's so very important. It's encouraging and promoting when we see a fellow Christian being used by the Lord, isn't it? The great thing about it is, God is using him? Yeah, man. There's a certain pastor that's very powerful, and we've been trying to get him on Wednesday, or we want to get him on Wednesday nights whenever I'm away now. The guy, his name's Damian Kyle, and I love Damian Kyle. This guy pastors Calvary Chapel of Modesto. He's about 900 feet high, tall. I mean, the guy's like, he's just so tall. And when I first saw him, I had never seen him before, and I had heard that he was going to be speaking at this conference, and he was there, and he just moved just like Jack Benny. And somebody goes, that's Damian Kyle. And I said, no, it's not. I've heard him on tape. That can't be him. And the guy, he's like a little green bean. You know, he's like a pole, and he's like moves real slow. You think he's like 100 years old. And he talks kind of like, he's just, you know, and he's slow, and it's, my gosh, if the guy falls over, he'll never get up. And there's no way that's Damian Kyle. There's just no way. And then I remember Pastor Chuck Smith goes, Damian Kyle, will you come up? You know, and he comes on up, and, you know, he's like this, and he begins to speak, and I hear his voice, and it was like, no way. And this guy is so anointed. God just flows through him so great. And you would look at him and say, what good can come out of Damian Kyle? And yet, he just thunders for God. And when he gets going, I mean, he moves a little quicker. And he just is a wonderful teacher, pastor there at Calvary Chapel in Modesto. And God is using him greatly. And the beautiful thing is when God uses people, we should all be excited and filled up with a little bit more of encouragement. Man, God's using him. God's using her. I think he could use me. I think he could use you. And things start happening. It builds us up when God uses us. Also this, that we would come to the knowledge of the Lord. And we'll touch on this as we approach the end of the study. But knowing someone, listen, knowing someone is different than knowing something about them. You know about a lot of people. Somebody will say, don't you hear this? I'm guilty of it myself. Oh, do you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I know him. No, I don't. We do that. Oh, you know. Do you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah. Well, that means you like met them once. You know about them. You don't know them. To know them is to know their loves, their passions, their secrets, their fears, their anxieties, their joys. That's to know them. Do you know them? Well, I know about them. Well, that's more accurate. The Lord wants us, and he's gifted us, with certain gifts that we might not only minister to one another, but we might know him better. Not know just about him, but to actually know him. Well, Jack, how does that work out? Well, number one, when we practice the gift or gifts that he's given us, we will be doing what Jesus wants to do if he was here physically with us. He's doing it through us. And when somebody comes up and says, after you're given a message on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever, and they say, that really stunk. First of all, if that's the position that you're in of teaching or evangelizing or preaching, or many of you go out on Thursday nights with the evangelistic teams, consider this. Charles Spurgeon gave a great bit of wisdom about that. Somebody will come up and tell me, you know what, Jack, you were so off the wall. That was nuts today. I can't believe that. I just know me. And, you know, and I, praise the Lord, pray for me. God bless you. And then someone will walk up right behind them and say, I was so ministered to. You know what? You learn real quick what Charles Spurgeon said. You're not as bad as they say you are, and you're not as good as they say you are. I like that. That's why you're to do it unto the Lord and forget everybody else. Just do it unto Jesus and forget it. And listen, when we minister and we are either accepted or rejected or left alone in the street to bleed, we know Jesus a little bit more every day we serve the body of Christ because we're like him. And we know him more and more. I think all of us would have a little bit more compassion if we had a drive the stake through the palm of the hand day. We all put our hands out when we come in, and the ushers are faithfully there to drive a stake right through the palm of our hand. Then we would say, boy, can you imagine what the Lord went through, hands and feet hanging there. I have a little bit more compassion because of what I've just gone through. You understand? Ministry will do that. It softens your heart. It's important. And then finally, this concerning the ministry and the gifts, the purpose of the gifts given that we might minister, that we would be unified and organized. The gifts of the Lord have been given to us that out of us and through us, ordained by God, would flow the workings of the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we might come together as a body of Jesus Christ. We need to do that in whatever body we're in, if it's here or if it's some other church. And I believe this strongly. In Esther chapter 4, verse 14, down at the end, it says, yet who knows, Mordecai told her, who knows, Esther? For maybe you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And I believe this with all my heart. Don't tell me otherwise. Don't bum me out here. But I believe that I was born for a purpose and for a time just like this. Okay? I'm happy to be here. There are a lot of things going on with my birth and my the pregnancy I was personally involved in to keep me out of here. And I'm glad to be here. God had a purpose. And God's got a purpose for you. You might be sitting here, well, yeah, well, you just kind of quit. It's kind of late. I need to go. This guy's got a purpose for you. And it's more than getting home and eating Twinkies or whatever you have to do. He's got a purpose. And listen, we need to find out what that purpose is. We have to know that purpose. It's so very important. So, he lists in verse 11, you can drop down to verse 11, four what is known as four charismatic gifts that are public. Not all gifts are very public. He lists four of the most public gifts given by the Holy Spirit. Number one, jot it down in your notes, the ministry of an apostle. And you might say, well, I don't believe there's apostles anymore. Well, why not? You should. There is the gift of apostle. You know, I had the Mormons knock on my door the other day. First time in 6 years. They used to walk by my house. Well, now they stopped, praise the Lord. They're back in the routine again. And I love those guys. And they said, we're the only true church because we believe that there are living apostles and prophets. I said, well, so do I. What? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. My Bible says that God has given by the power of the Holy Spirit the gifts of apostle and even prophets. Where we get nervous is the understanding of the gift. First of all, there was the apostolic apostles that saw the resurrected Lord. But did you know in your Bible there is a list of men called apostles and prophets, by the way, who never saw the risen Lord? Are you aware of that? They never saw him. They never met the qualifications that were listed in the book of Acts. But yet they're still called apostles. Isn't that interesting? In fact, there are some female names, Andronicus and Junius, in the book of Romans. And Paul said that they are a chief among the apostles. And some people say, well, that means they were very nice servants among the apostles, those guys. You know what? There's a great argument to say, no, that's not the correct understanding of the verse, that they themselves were even possibly apostles. That's debated. The word means, apostolos, the word means those who are messengers, ones who are sent out with divine gifts. Our gifting, the ministry of an apostle. And it seems, as you go through Scripture, that it seems to change a little bit in its operation and even in some respects its qualification. And the New Testament, later on, where the church is well established and Jesus has long since ascended into heaven, the apostles are dead, there might be a few left, doesn't matter. The book is written onward, the Bible is written onward, stating that among you, among the church, there'll be apostles and prophets. Interesting. It's interesting to me that the word is some. Look there in your Bible. It says some to be, gave some to be apostles. The word some means not all but enough, not all but some, not all but a few. Not everybody's an apostle. A missionary, I think today, some missionaries qualify as an apostle. There are some missionaries today that are taking the Word of God into foreign territory, foreign places. They're planting churches. Miracles are being worked through them. They're under divine power and anointing. And great things are being done. And I believe that fits what Paul talks about later on in other books of his concerning the gift of an apostle.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 4 in verses 7 through 16, where Paul expounds on gifts for believers and how they all contribute to the functioning of the church. United in the Gifts is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now, let's be honest for a minute. We all know someone who, in the past, was a professing believer and yet somehow drifted out of fellowship. Perhaps this individual is you. But our Lord is sometimes called the God of second chances, and this is why Pastor Jack has delivered a valuable four-part series called Christian Come Home. Christian Come Home is available on DVD. The title is quite self-explanatory and is an excellent treatment from the part of Luke's Gospel wherein we read of the prodigal son. Here's our offer. When you make a tax-deductible contribution of $20 or more to the work of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's series on DVD, Christian Come Home. Again, for your gift to the radio outreach of Real Radio of $20 or more, we'll send you Pastor Jack's DVD set, Christian Come Home. There's more than one way to do so. You can always visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You can also call our telephone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.